very, very grateful that these representatives of Ranganath Temple, two of the most senior people, have come to give us their kind association. The Swamiji this morning, just a couple hours ago, was so ill, he could not even speak two words. But somehow or other, he extended himself. We have been very much blessed. I was told a story. Of some of the history of this temple. Three different Mughal kings invaded Rangakshetra on three occasions, utterly plundered this place. On one invasion, the king, Ulu Khan, came with his very powerful general and his armies. They murdered 12,000 Sri Vaishnavas here. Murdered 12,000 devotees. And plundered everything of any value. Before they came, the devotees built a big wall in front of Ranganath and Lakshmi so that they would not know the deities are here. But the king stole the Utsav Murti of Ranganath and brought him to his palace in Delhi. And the Utsav Murti of Lakshmi was buried under the sand very quickly, so they could not find. So after the king murdered 12,000 devotees and just terrorized this entire place under the command of his general, the king went on to conquer another place, but left his chief general here. And he was going on killing and persecuting and torturing. And he was looking for the deity. He was determined to find the deity. So there was one lady, a devotee lady. She was remarkably beautiful. And somehow it is man's nature to put faith in the opposite sex when they are beautiful. Especially demoniac people. That is how Krishna tricked all the demons in the form of Mohini Murti. Just by her feminine beauty, they put total faith in him, in her. So this cruel, murderous general of the Mughal army became very much attracted to one beautiful devotee lady. And he asked her, "Where is the deity of Vishnu? Show me where that deity is." She said, "You follow me, I will show you." He was very happy to follow her. He probably would have followed her anywhere. You know this big, tall, white gopuram that's behind us? You have all seen, close to where we took prasad? She went to the top of that gopuram. And the general of the king followed behind her. And on the top of the gopuram, she pointed to the dome. On the dome, there is a carving of Lord Vishnu, whose name is Vasudev. And she said, there is the deity. There is my Lord. There is the Lord of my life. If you want to see him, look. And he was looking for a deity. She said, don't. Look at the dome over there. He said, that carving? She said, yes, that is the Lord of my life. And as he was looking at the form of Lord Vasudev, she pushed him off the gopuram, and he fell all the way down, crashed his head, and died. But then she was thinking that I have just killed someone in Lord Vishnu's temple. So I have committed a great sin. How can I live? So she jumped off the top of the dome from the exact same place where she pushed the general, who just cracked his head and died instantly. She jumped down and fell to the ground. But because Lord Ranganath was pleased with her, she was not even scratched. She didn't even sprain a toe or a finger because Ranganath was pleased with her. And she came before the deity, and the deity offered her any benediction. Because by killing that general, she saved the lives of thousands of people, because he would have kept plundering, torturing, and killing. In fact, after the general was killed, the army left. So Ranganath, he offered her any benediction she wanted. All she wanted was his eternal loving service. But she said, when that day does come that I die, please let the flame from the fire of your kitchen that cooks your bhoga, let that fire burn my body and all of my descendants. So for many, many generations after that, every one of her descendants was burned by the flames from the kitchen wood of Ranganath's fire. Meanwhile, they took the Utsav Murti, which also came out of the ocean of milk along with the large deity, and the king took it to Delhi. So one other lady, devotee lady, she put on the dress of a Muslim and went along with the king's army back to Delhi, just so she would know where that deity was. And no one detected her. She was behaving just like a perfect Muslim. And she went into the court, and she was also very beautiful, so she was given good access in the court. And she understood exactly where the deity went. It went to the king's palace. Then she came back to Rangakshetra and told the pujaris that this is where Ranganath is. So the pujaris went all the way, they walked all the way to Delhi, and they were singing beautiful songs in a mood of service to the king. And he was so pleased with them. He said, I want to give you something. What would you like? He said, give us that deity. So he gave the deity. And they were on their way back to Rangakshetra to bring the deity back. But the king's daughter fell in love with the deity. She told her father, I want that deity back. So he sent his armies to follow. to come to Ranga Kshetra to get that deity back. So they brought the deity to many places hiding. For 75 years they were hiding that deity. For some time they hid him in Tirupati and other various places. And ultimately, as I said, 75 years later, Ranga Kshetra became a relatively safe place for the deity to return. So they brought the deity back. But there was a problem. Would you like to hear? There's always problems. Long before that, they brought another Utsav Murti that looked just like this one, because they considered this one was gone. Yes? So they installed, and all the pujaris were worshipping that Utsav Murti, and they considered that that was the original one. And then these priests, somehow or other, the next generation brought the deity back. And there was a debate, which of the deities was really the original deity? The pujaris were saying the ones we're worshipping, this is the original deity. And the others are saying, no, the one we're bringing back is the original deity. But nobody knew. From the time the deity was stolen, there were only two people in all of Ranga Kshetra that were still alive 75 years later. One was a dobi, a washerman. And by this time, he was so old that he became blind. He could not see. But he was the only one who could witness. They asked him, "Can you tell us which deity?" He said, "I'm just a Shudra. I'm very low. And I can't see. But many years ago when I was young, I used to wash the clothes of that deity. Before the Mughals invaded, my service was washing the clothes of the deity. And in love and devotion, I would always wring out the water and then smell it and drink it. So I know the smell of the body of the Lord. So take both of the deities that you have. I can't see them, but let me wash both of their clothes and I'll tell you which one is the original deity." So the deity that was being worshipped on the altar, they gave the clothes to him and he washed it and he wrung it out and he drank it and he smelled the water. He said, "This is not the deity that I used to do seva for." And then the deity that was just hidden for 75 years in various places was brought before him. The clothes, he washed them. He smelled the water. He drank the water and tasted it. And in ecstasy, he began to cry. He said, "This is Ranganath." And just when they installed Ranganath on his altar again, after so long, there was a rainstorm on the same day. And the rain was part of a great miracle. Because after 75 years, the rain washed away the sand, and Lakshmi Devi appeared from under the ground. Nobody knew where she was. Pujari just secretly buried her and didn't tell anyone. So Lakshmi and Ranganayaki and Ranganath both appeared once again in Srirangakshetra on the same very day. So in these stories, we very much honor these two beautiful ladies who gave their lives for the service of the deities and the devotees. We were speaking about Ramanujacharya. He had a disciple of the name Andrapurna. Andrapurna was his personal servant. In fact, on behalf of all the other Vaishnavas, he was doing the service for the personal needs of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And one of his very important services was to boil milk for his guru every day. There are wonderful stories about the nature of his devotion. One time he was boiling milk for Ramanujacharya, and one of the greatest festivals of the year was taking place. Today, Murli Bhatta Prabhu said that in the Ranganath temple, every year they have 322 festivals. Now, this was a main festival. And Ranganath was on the Utsav Murti was on palanquin, and Brahmins were chanting, and it was a darshan, only once a year that anyone gets this darshan. And the palanquin was just coming by the ashram of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya said to Andrapurna, he said, "Come, come, come and see the darshan of the Lord. Come and see the darshan of the Lord." And Andrapurna said to Ramanujacharya, he said, "This is my darshan of the Lord, boiling his milk. This is the darshan that I'm having with my Lord by boiling his milk." Boiling the milk for Ramanujacharya. Another time the two of them came right before Ranganath in the temple. Ramanujacharya, with ecstatic tears in his eyes, was looking at the deities. And Andrapurna was just staring at the feet of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya said, "Andrapurna, look at the deity. Have darshan of the deity. Have the darshan of the Lord." Andrapurna said to him, "You are having darshan of your Lord, and I am having darshan of my Lord." This was the extreme nature of his being servant of the servant of a servant. Another time, Andrapurna washed the feet of Ramanujacharya after he came from walking outside. And after taking that water, he drank the water and sprinkled the water on his head. And Ramanujacharya, seeing he just touched the water that washed my feet, he said to Andrapurna, he said, "You just touched the water that washed my feet." He said, go wash your hands. So Andrapurna immediately went obediently and washed his hands. Later that day, he went with Ramanujacharya into the temple of Ranganath, and they gave Charanamrit, and he took the Charanamrit and immediately ran and washed his hands. And Ramanujacharya said, "What are you washing your hands for? You're supposed to put the Charanamrit on your head after you take it." He said, "No. You ordered me that after I take Charanamrit, I must wash my hands." because I do not see a difference between the water that washes your feet and the water that washes the Lord's feet. This was the simple nature of his love for Ramanujacharya. Servant of the servant of the servant. And because of these simple incidences, he is honored, glorified, and remembered by the Sri Vaishnavas even over 800 years later. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his servant, also had that completely selfless attitude. One time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he was dancing and dancing and dancing in ecstasy with his devotees for practically the entire day. They went early in the morning, and he was doing Nam Sankirtan till the afternoon. Hour after hour after hour, finally Lord Nityananda Prabhu had to somehow or other stop the kirtan because all the devotees were utterly exhausted and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still dancing. As all the Vaishnavas loudly chanted the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya went back to Gambira to take his prasad. Govinda, his servant, served him the prasad, Jagannath's prasad. And then Lord Chaitanya laid down. But he laid down right across the doorway, going into his quarters. Now it was the service of Govinda to massage Lord Chaitanya's feet after he took prasad as the Lord was resting every afternoon. But on this day, the Lord's feet were inside the doorway and he was blocking the doorway. So Govinda said to the Lord, if you can please move slightly so that I can go inside to massage your feet, my Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, I am too tired. I cannot move. And he just lay. And Govinda said, my Lord, please, if you could just move slightly so I could go in to do my seva of massaging your lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya just, He said, do whatever your mind tells you to do. So Govinda took a piece of cloth, the Lord's cloth, and put it over the Lord's legs. And then he stepped over the Lord's body to get into the room. Now this is a great offense. To step over the body of a devotee is considered a great offense. It is very disrespectful. What to speak of stepping over the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But Govinda stepped over him and went into the room and massaged his feet. Lord Chaitanya slept for a long time. And finally, when he came to his external consciousness, he saw Govinda sitting there. And he said, Govinda, have you taken your prasad yet? Govinda said, no. Said, you were supposed to have taken prasad right after massaging my feet. You have been here for so long, hours. Why haven't you taken your prasad? Why are you still here? Govinda said, but my Lord, in order for me to take prasad, to get out of the room, I would have had to step over your body. Lord Chaitanya said, Govinda, To get in the room, you stepped over my body. So to get out of the room, you could step over my body. Govinda remained silent. But in his heart, he was thinking, my Lord, to render service to you, I am willing to endure committing countless offenses. To render service to you, I am willing to go to hell for eternity. But for my own sense gratification, for my own purposes, I greatly fear committing even a speck of a trace of any offense to anyone. And it is explained that Lord Chaitanya purposely slept in that way and wouldn't move because he wanted the whole world to understand the selfless service of Govinda. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamani shvidi bhavata bhaktira haita kitva. I do not want wealth or the beauty of the opposite sex, nor do I want fame, prestige, or even liberation from suffering. I only want to be your unconditional servant, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. These stories exemplify this principle. Govinda was willing to go to hell and even endure the reactions of terrible offenses if that was what was required to serve the Lord. But for his own purposes, his heart was reeking with fear of committing even the slightest fragrance of an offense. Another servant of Lord Chaitanya was Balabhadra Bhattacharya. When Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, they were traveling through forests together. Dangerous lions and tigers and snakes and elephants. And Balabhadra was, how to protect my Lord? He was just a simple little Bengali brahmachari. But he personally witnessed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu putting his feet right in the face of tigers and telling them to chant Hare Krishna and watching the tigers dance in ecstasy with tears of love flowing from their eyes as they chanted the holy name. Yes, for Balabhadra Bhattacharya, his life, his soul, his everything was in his service. And one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from his heart of heart, he was appreciating Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He said, we have come so long, thousands of miles, and we're traveling through dark forests where there's no human beings, wild animals, sleeping in the forest, eating in the forest. But because of your attentive devotional service to me, I have not experienced even the slightest inconvenience all of these days. You're making nice beds for me out of straw, and you're collecting roots and herbs, and you're gathering wood and making fires to keep me warm. And you're preparing such nice prasad out of nothing. He said, you are sacrificing so much, so much, just to make me happy. I have no way to repay you. Due to your love, even in this jungle, there has not even been a moment of inconvenience for me. Lord Chaitanya was praising him. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he said, "No, my Lord, I am insignificant. It is all by your mercy." He said, "By your kindness, you have given me the service of Garuda, although I'm just a wretched, insignificant, useless crow." So Rangakshetra is a place that is especially personifying this spirit of selfless service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two very essential principles from each of the four Vaishnava sampradayas. And what did he take from the life and teachings of Ramanujacharya and his followers? One, unalloyed devotional service. Without any mixture of jnana or karma. No desire for personal sense gratification. No desire for mystical yogic powers. And no desire for liberation or mukti. Only the desire to give satisfaction to the Lord by our love. That is pure bhakti. And the second principle was the greatness of service to the devotees. Servant of the servant. And we have heard many stories, and we have witnessed today in these three wonderful souls. In fact, this morning, Murli Bhatt, such a nice service attitude he has. He looked at me. We were just in front of Lakshmi Devi's temple. And he said, "Over the last 2 days, I feel that my family has grown by 2,000 people." He said, "I really, deeply in my heart feel that you are part of that you are my family and I am your family." And he said, "I don't know what I will do when you leave." And he started weeping. He started crying from his heart. So today I want to thank all of you for having such a wonderful, wonderful impression, for making such a wonderful impression on these devotees. It is Prabhupada's kindness upon us that he's giving us this chance. So tomorrow, early morning, we will be leaving Rangakshetra for Rameshwaram. And it is my very great hope that everyone really carries this spirit. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spirit, which was so much personified here at Rangakshetra by Ramanujacharya and his followers. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that spirit of selfless, unalloyed devotion as the servant of the servant of the servant and developed it to its highest extent in the gopis of Vrindavan. When Krishna had headache, gopis were willing to go to hell for all eternity if that would help Krishna to be relieved of his headache for even one moment. And the spirit of Vrindavan is that nobody except Srimati Radharani approaches Krishna directly. Everyone is the servant of the servant of the servant. In that spirit, let us chant the holy name. Before we have our kirtan, there are Shyamananda Prabhu. Are you coming to make announcements? Would you like to do before kirtan? Yes, you should do before.